is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. You are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. Willingly we choose to surrender our lives. Willingly our knees we bow. With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God.
Father, we do come to you just as we are, and we pray that the power of your Spirit who indwells each of us who have made a profession of faith will draw us deeper, that we will come with worshiping hearts. Father, we thank you for this place we call Byron Community Church as our faith community. We thank you that we live in a country where we enjoy the freedom of coming together as Christians to offer our praise and our worship to you. Father, we pray that you will be with us now as we spend this time together, and we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. Well, good morning. Welcome to Byron Community Church. We are so glad that you have joined with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, a very warm welcome on this beautiful summer's morning. On behalf of the church family, we want to offer our congratulations to the Kernahan family, Glenn, who you normally see up here playing guitar, and Catherine, got married yesterday, so very congratulations. Also, congratulations are due to one student in particular who's slouching in his seat back there. Sean Moyles graduated grade 8 this week, so congratulations to Sean. And congratulations to the rest of the students in the room too, as well as you're on your summer vacation now. It's an exciting time. Yes, and teachers. Donna is the one that's cheering the most up here. So can anybody under the age of 20 tell me what happened on Friday? Yes, Nick. We didn't plan this. It was indeed Canada Day. We are so blessed to live in a country where we enjoy so many freedoms and so many rights as citizens. And it's something that we need to be constantly thanking God for, because it's something that can be taken away from us, I'm sure, at some point. It could happen. So as we think about the fact, we have been a country now for 149 years. Next year is going to be quite the celebration, I think, as we look at 150 years as being one country. And we need to keep praying to God that we can enjoy the freedoms that we have and that we can stay knit together as a community. So I think on this Sunday, it's very appropriate for us to sing O Canada. So please stand with us. Just a few announcements for you this morning, Karsten. We need to first do the Connect card. So if you received a Connect card on your way in this morning, we're just going to take a few moments now to fill those out. If you didn't get one, if you want to just wave your hand, the ushers will bring you one. So we'll just take a couple of moments now to fill those out, and then we'll collect them with our offering minutes.
I know that you will be me. Standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear. I am not alone. I am not.
Thank you for taking the time to do that. If the ushers will come forward now, we'll pray together, and then we'll receive our tithes and offerings for the morning, and you can drop your Connect card on the plate as it passes you by. Our Father, we thank you that you are so good to us. We thank you, Father, for the freedom again that we enjoy living here in Canada. Father, we live in the best country in the world, and we are so thankful for that. Father, we pray that we will continue to stand up for what is right. As Christians, Father, that we will spread your word throughout our country, that we will make our country stronger by our faith in you. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have provided all of our needs. And Father, we live in such a rich country. We thank you for so many of our wants that are supplied as well. Lord, we thank you for this place called Byron Community Church. We return a portion of our money to you now as an act of worship, and pray that you use it here at Byron to your honor and glory. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, so just a few announcements for you this morning. So the youth will actually go out after the sermon this morning for their class. And this coming Wednesday, I think it's Phobia, is that right? Phobia is this week. So you probably, if you're younger than me, you want to be here. Starting next week, we'll be into MP7, our summer series. MP standing for Minor Prophets. And Hosea is next week. Yes. So if you have an opportunity, Hosea will be the subject for next week. If you have an opportunity, please read through the book of Hosea to prepare to be here next Sunday. Looking forward to this coming Saturday. We will be having a carnival. We're inviting the community to come in and be part of our church family for the day. It's from 12 till 2 next Saturday. And are you still looking for help, Alicia? You still looking for help? Oh. It smells great. All right, so next Saturday, be here. Also, just as a reminder, the missions team leave next Saturday for Ondek Omnikoni, the First Nation on Manitoulin Island. Please be praying for them as they head out, because this team, and as you all understand, needs your prayer support beyond anything else. And thank you so much for supporting through the T-shirt, sponsoring a T-shirt fundraiser. We were just a couple of dollars short of our goal, but it's amazing, just totally amazing. So thank you on behalf of the team. Looking forward to August, we will be having the Cave Quest BBS here at the church. Be thinking about kids that you can invite in your neighborhood that might want to be part of that. Registration is still, we're in the early bird stage, so it's a reduced registration. So be thinking about kids you can invite. Looking towards the end of August, we take part in Church in the Park with other Byron churches. And this year, Josh Kennedy will be speaking. And Josh is actually speaking this morning as well. And I think that's it. The one other thing, though, to remember, there is ball hockey this afternoon at 3 p.m. in the parking lot. So if you'd like to play ball hockey, be here. It's a way, a game that we can open our doors to the community, the wider Byron community, in a non-threatening way. So I think that is it for announcements. We'll just take a couple of minutes now. You can greet one another, and the children can be dismissed for their Sunday school class. Yeah. All right. We'll have time after the service for fellowship in the foyer. As I mentioned, Josh is going to be speaking. Pastor Josh is going to be speaking this morning. So just as we prepare ourselves, we're going to sing a new song that we've been learning here today. We're going to be singing it again. Then we're going to read scripture together. We have another song, and then Josh is going to come and speak. So please stand with us if you're able.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know searching for answers, only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Can hardly think as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Main part of a main passage that Josh will be speaking from this morning is found in Genesis. So if you have your Bible, you can take it and turn to Genesis 12, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 3 together. It's on the screen behind me. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let this praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ.
Well, good morning, everybody. Aren't we blessed to have such a great praise and worship team? So how was everybody's long weekend? Good? Good Canada Day? We had an adventure on Canada Day. It was Thursday afternoon, had finished everything up at the church, and I was going to go pick up Sarah. And we were going to head over to the cottage and meet her parents there at their cottage. And everything's going well. I get Sarah. We switch out drivers because I'm not driving all the way there. I get distracted by squirrels, so that's never good. And we're about 10 or 15 minutes out of town, and boom, tire goes. Luckily, there's a parking lot there for some sort of Apple store, so we're able to pull over to the side. And I play with puppets and do magic tricks. I don't know how to change a tire. No idea. I didn't even know we had a spare tire, so I learned something new. Well, we were able to call CAA, and they came out and put a new tire on, or the spare tire, and we had a decision to make. Do we risk it? Do we take the spare tire and drive another 2 hours or so to the cottage, or do we head back to town and try and get it fixed? And we decided, well, we'll head back to town and get it fixed. That's probably the wise decision, and the only place open at the time was Canadian Tire. And so, okay, that's fine. We'll drop the car off. They'll squeeze us in. We'll go for dinner. Somewhere around dessert, all of the waiters rush to the window, and they start looking through the blinds. Black smoke is coming off, and our waiter says, Canadian Tire just blew up. Yeah. A little nervous. So nervous, in fact, that I left three deep-fried brownies on the plate, and we got out of there. Now, fortunately for us, unfortunately for the 18 other businesses, it wasn't Canadian Tire that was on fire. brand new tire later, and we were able to get to our destination 8 or 9 hours later than we had intended. It was quite the journey. Lots of bumps in the road that we didn't quite anticipate. Lots of forks in the road where we needed to make decisions on what we were going to do. And it really ties into really our Christian journey, Christian spirituality. Everything is not going to go the way that we plan. We're going to hit bumps in the road. We're going to be anxious and nervous at times. We're going to have to make decisions at forks in the road. It's sort of tied in perfectly to kind of what we're talking about today with Abram and Noah and the decisions that they make in their journey in Christian spirituality. And we have a video that I want to go to, and we're just going to throw to it right now, and I'll talk about it in just a second.
What's up with your box?
That's not mine.
Oh, well, how long has it been here?
Since before I got here. I don't know. It's not my problem.
Well, what is it?
It's a problem.
Oh, a problem.
Right.
Well, should I look at it?
Knock yourself out. But you might want to think about that.
Oh, why?
Well, like I said, that's a problem.
Well, whose problem is it?
I don't know. It was here before I got here.
Wait, so you don't know whose it is?
No, and honestly, I don't really care. I've got more important things to do.
Yeah, well, someone has to care. I mean, you can't just sit here forever. It's got to be someone's problem.
Why? Why does it have to be someone's problem? Just don't look at it. Pretend it's not even there.
Hey,
there is no problem.
What? That doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, wait, so what you're saying is it's not your problem.
Right.
And it's not my problem.
Yeah.
Then whose problem is it?
Ooh. So I was going through videos, and I found this one. I look at this video, and to me, the fellow on the bench, he's the world. He turns his back, and he pretends that there isn't a problem. He's too caught up in what he's doing on his cell phone and the things that he's going on to really care about the issue, whatever that issue could be, that's right in front of him. He's more worried about what he's got going on than what's in the box. Society today stares truth in the face and ignores it, turns its back and pretends it isn't there. But life as a Christian requires us to get off that bench, open the box, and get our hands dirty. Our task, in a sense, is to get off the bench and care about whatever may be in those boxes. So our game plan today is that we want to tie in the stories and the lessons of Noah and Abraham together. And then we're going to sprinkle in contrast with the life of Jesus as well. Our aim is to discover a few different things. First, we will see that God is calling us back to our original intention. We will also see that that call is to turn and act. That's why we've sort of entitled this sermon, Turn and Act. Third, we will see the global importance of the covenant that's made to Abraham. And most importantly, we'll see how Jesus fulfills that covenant on our behalf. And finally, to wrap up, I will suggest 3 habits that we can cultivate in order to be a blessing to all families and nations. Now, youth group, you guys got your sheets, even though I can see some of you are on your cell phones. Pretty sure we just saw a video on that. So we're going to go in order. If you miss one, wave at me, and I'll make sure that you get those blanks, all right? So we're talking about God calling to us. And if we're going to understand God's calling to us, we may need to back up just a little bit and look at what we could call God's mission. Now, the word mission comes from the Latin mitter, M-I-T-T-E-R-E, and it means to send. So the move of God in creation is a divine act of overflowing sending forth. It's mission. Creation in itself is mission. This act of overflowing love brings forth something that can stand beside God and stand in relationship with God. God can treasure, cherish, and admire creation. Creation comes from God, bears God's mark, but isn't the same as God. Now, the impact of really understanding this act of creation brings us to this, and I quote Dr. Reverend Charles Fincham, one of my old professors. He says, "Christian spirituality means that we are objects of a God who is deeply engaged with our lives and our plight, a God who calls us back to our original intent as carers of the garden, a God that seeks to stand in relationship with us as we stand in relationship with one another and creation. The act of listening to God's call begins by hearing the call to repentance. God calls us to return to God's original intention for creation. So what is the original intention for creation? Well, we find it in the opening pages of Genesis. We see that humanity and God, they're in perfect harmony and relationship. Everything is good. Creation is good. Humanity in perfect relationship with God, and yet there's still work to do. Work doesn't become a curse. No, they had work to do even when creation was good and in perfect harmony. And the task that's given to humanity is to do what? To tend and care for creation. We find that in Genesis 2:15. Now, oftentimes we talk about repentance through Jesus Christ, and then it ends there. In this way, our repentance becomes isolated and individualized. We can sing songs about how we'll fly away to heaven, or we can stay up late and we can see TV evangelists talk about how Jesus wants me to own a Ford truck and you too. But that's not the point. Sometimes we maybe withdraw completely from the world and retreat to our safe church bubble because we're going to heaven and they're not and they're scary. Salvation and repentance, though, cannot be isolated. It cannot be an individualized act because the movement to repentance puts us on a path to tend and care for creation and for one another. Because repentance puts us back in line with God's original intention for us to tend and care for creation. But it's really important, before we go any further, that we understand this. You and me, everybody, we fall under that umbrella of creation. So we can talk plants and animals, but creation includes us. So a significant part of tending and caring for creation is attending and caring for each other. Now, we continue. We see this illustrated in the story of Noah. Now, just to quickly refresh your memory, in case it's been a while for you, as we get to Noah, about chapter 5 in Genesis, the world is pretty bad news in shoes. God is not very happy, and God decides, you know what? They've gotten so far away from what I intended, we're just going to wipe it out with a flood, and we're going to start fresh. So God finds Noah, who is righteous, and he says, Noah, okay, you're going to build this big ark. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. You're going to put all these animals on it, bring your family on it, and you're going to be able to survive this giant flood that I'm sending. Make sense? Remember that story? Yes? Good job, Pat. They all remember. This story illustrates how it's a call to turn and act on God's call for the good of all creation. Right? Noah's given the salvific task. He's given what's going to save him from the coming wrath of the flood, but it's not just for Noah. Noah is given that blessing so that Noah can restore all of creation, including the creatures. Noah's been given the gift of salvation, but that comes with work to do, right? God didn't just snap his fingers and Noah was saved from the flood. Noah had a lot of work to do. And the task that he was given was not to build a canoe so Noah could paddle around on the flood. No, he had to build a giant boat or a big ark that could restore all of creation. Salvation for Noah came with a job to do. Now, in the story of Noah, we can see that God's purpose continues to be a thriving for all of creation. It is not an individualized and isolated act. Noah's task to take care of God's creatures and reestablish their place demonstrates the content of biblical stewardship. To walk the way of Christian spirituality, then, is to understand that stewardship, in the sense of the book of Genesis, is a caring for creation, a fostering of health and wholeness on behalf of the Creator. God's mission for us is inextricably linked to the creation and the care for it. Now, as we continue to go through the book of Genesis, we get to the Tower of Babel, right? And from that point on, there's a dramatic break in the narrative. This shifts the history of humankind as a whole. So at this point, we're talking about humanity altogether, right? Once we get to this point in Genesis, there's a break. And we're going to focus specifically on the history of Israel. I think you might have backwashed in that water, John. Whoa. So by the time we get to Genesis 12, the story of Abraham, the story unfolds with a focus on Abraham and his descendants. Looking at God's call to Abraham, which we read earlier, excuse me, I'm having mic problems today. As we look at that call that we read earlier, we see that the call and the blessings are made very clear. And the power and the ramifications of that key event echoes throughout the entire biblical narrative and throughout history. And if we want to listen to God's call and God's explanation of God's mission, then this is where we need to pay particularly close attention. We just read it earlier, but we're going to just put it back up on the screen for just a second. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn over to it as well. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." As we were to read on in Genesis, we see that in response to God's call, Abram becomes Abraham. In listening and turning to God's journey, he gains identity and meaning as a person. Now, not only is this pretty similar to Saul becoming Paul in the New Testament, but it's a major crux behind Paul's writing. 2 Corinthians 5:17, for example, whoever becomes in Christ is a new creation. The journey of Christian spirituality is always contained within the journey from Abram to Abraham. Think back a couple weeks, we could say that Christian spirituality is contained between Old Address Boulevard and New Address Lane. It's contained within the journey from Abram to Abraham. That's because Christian spirituality rests on the key discovery of hearing God call us into being and granting us a special place and special meaning in creation. Isn't it interesting when you think about it that both creation and this covenant are initiated and come to be because God spoke it into existence? Now, as we look at the story of Abram, right when we first meet Abram and his wife Sarai, or Abraham and Sarah, they have a problem, right? Their problem is barrenness. And that's a big problem in biblical times. You need to have heirs to keep your name going and to keep the family business kind of going. So barrenness is a really big problem back in Genesis time. How do we know that they have this problem? Well, the story unfolds, we can see that, but if we were to back up and look at chapter 11, it specifically tells us Sarai was barren. They've got a problem. Ultimately, the consequences of human rebellion become symbolized in barrenness. But with God's call, Abram and Sarai, they are called out of their homeland to abandonment, renunciation, and relinquishment. Now, the call to renunciation, it stands in complete opposition to our self-indulgent consumer culture. It stands in complete opposition to our friend on the park bench in the video from earlier. The way the story unfolds, the message becomes very clear. Relinquishment is the only way out of barrenness. Relinquishment is the only way out of barrenness. This idea is already present in the opening pages of the biblical narrative, and yet Jesus himself makes it very, very clear in the New Testament. Whoever loses their life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. Mark 8:35. The call to Christian spirituality calls us away from our own barrenness, our own meaninglessness, and our own pursuit of self-satisfaction. When we listen and heed that call, we discover that the call is also a promise that brings us to freedom. We observe the grace of God when in this covenant, God cancels the consequences of human rebellion and replaces them with promised gifts. If you have your Bibles, flip back to what we read, 12 verses 1 to 3. We're going to see them on the screen as well, that God asserts five promises. First, we see that God will make Abram. Oh, it's like magic. Second is what we see that God will bless Abram. God will magnify Abram's name. God will bless those who bless Abram. And God will curse those who curse or curse those who disdain Abram. God's promises to Abram emphasize that we are not the absolute and autonomous people we imagined we were. These promises from God, they also return the things that Adam and Eve lost in the garden. Again, to use the gospel language, the losing of life is the gaining of that life. Renunciation is the only way out of barrenness. But this gift, this promise of the covenant, it's not a self-indulgent gift. Just like Noah is given the gift of salvation from the flood, but he had work to do and he had to restore all of creation, salvation for us is not a self-indulgent gift. Walter Brueggemann puts it this way. You'll see it on the screen. The well-being of Israel carried potential for the well-being of other nations. Israel is never permitted to live in a vacuum. It must always live with, for, and among the others. The barren ones are now mandated for the needs of the others. See, the thing is, that doesn't just apply to Israel. We could take Israel out, and we could change it. And we could put Byron Community Church. The well-being of Byron Community Church carries the potential for the well-being of others. Byron Community Church is never permitted to live in a vacuum. Byron Community Church must always live with, for, and among the others, because Byron Community Church is mandated for the needs of the others. If you wanted to, you could replace that, and you could put your own name in it, because it's not just about us as a community, but individually, our blessing of salvation carries the potential for the blessing of others. Now, these promises of Abraham's prolific offspring to whom all families will be blessed, we see that that's a reiteration of what we see earlier in Genesis 1:28. Now, the call is to be a blessing to all families. When we get to the gospel languages, it changes to all nations, which is important. It becomes a much bigger scale. From the very start of the biblical narrative, we encounter a God in community. We encounter a relational God. In Genesis, the relational dimension of God is expressed in this concept of covenant, and what we read a little earlier. This solemn agreement between God and the Creator, between God the Creator and Abraham, coupled with God's unfailing faithfulness, becomes a thematic backdrop for the entire Bible. Through this covenant, God binds God's self to creation. Now, ultimately, in Jesus, God enters creation for its redemption and shows the depth of love that God has for creation. When we look at Jesus, we need to recognize that he's coming from Abraham's family, and he perfectly fulfills the covenant on our behalf. When we look at Jesus, we can notice the parallels in his life as five reversals of the blessings that are given to Abraham. We see that God will make Abram, yet Jesus relinquishes all in trust of the Father. God will bless Abram, and yet Jesus gives up all security and honor for complete dishonor on a Roman cross. God says that he will magnify Abram's name, but for Jesus, he seeks not for himself, but for the well-being of all. God says that he will bless those who bless Abram, and yet Jesus enters captivity to the final enemy, being death. But the best part is that by blessing him, we are blessed with the verdict of righteousness. By entering into his new community, that includes all family, that includes all nations, genders, stations in life without discrimination, we become the all families that are blessed through him. I thought I heard an amen somewhere. But what does this mean for our understanding of Christian spirituality? That is not about the edification of the I as individual. We had to take the kids when we were in Vancouver Island, the youth group, out to a concert-type show thing. And it was a little strange, but as we're waiting in the coffee area, I see this one older guy, and by older, he's like 35. And it's for junior highs. Like, we were old, too. But he's walking around in a kilt and a man bun. I'm like, okay, what are you doing? But his T-shirt said that Jesus died to reserve my space in heaven. Not if you know what MySpace is, and nobody nodded because it's too old and nobody used it. MySpace Kids came before Facebook and before Twitter. And so we had that logo and that font, and that was the message, that Jesus died to preserve MySpace. No. Maybe a little bit true, but it's not about the individual. Jesus came to bless you so that you can bless others. So if we could have a social media network that would work that would work on a t-shirt. But it wasn't about the I as individual. Because even though I am blessed and you are blessed and loved and embraced by God, that blessing, that individual blessing that we have is meant to be conveyed to the nations and to the world. It's not something that we hold on to for ourselves. It's something that we share with everybody because our task is to tend and care for each other. I think it's a pretty sobering thought in light of so much contemporary Christian spirituality focused on the individualistic benefits rather than the task of blessing others. It's a pretty unfortunate news for our friend on the park bench from the video, too. Now, we're going to wrap up pretty soon here. I got my stopwatch here so Paul doesn't shut me off. To convey our blessing to the nations in the world, I'm going to suggest three habits that we need to cultivate. There's more than three, but it's hot in here, so we're only going to talk about three. The first habit is to be inclusive. Unity and diversity is the expression or the way of faith in the Messiah. We need to be inclusive. To fulfill the covenant that we failed to keep and that Jesus has kept on our behalf, we have to do the work of bringing together all people and all nations for the good of God's creation. Now, that might mean that you bring in people that talk differently than you, or dress a little differently than you, or even think differently than you, or heaven forbid, they cheer for the Maple Leafs. But we don't get to pick and choose. Our job is to bring together all families and all nations for the good of God's creation. Here's your challenge for this week. All right, if you're taking notes, write this down. I'll post it on Facebook so you remember it. Your challenge is to bless two people this week. Bless two people, okay? That could be taking a coworker out for lunch. It could be a thank you note to somebody. It could be taking somebody out for coffee. It could be even paying for the person behind you in the coffee line. Bless one person that is part of the church. It can be part of this church. It can be a friend that's a part of another church, okay? Bless one person that's part of the church. That's easy. But bless one person that isn't. That can be a coworker that doesn't know God yet, a neighbor. Same thing, take them out for coffee, put a thank you note, mow their lawn. Bless one person from the church. Bless one person that isn't from the church. The second habit that we need to cultivate is that we need to reflect the hope of the age to come. We need to be inclusive, and we need to reflect the hope of the age to come. People in the world often ask, why? Why must it be so? Why cancer? Why disease? Why pain? And why evil? I was following this story of this young boy up in Windsor. He's probably 5 or 6. You may have seen him on the news a year or so ago. He was the kid that he got to be Batman for a day, go around the city and fight crime. Just a little guy. While his friends are in school and having fun, he's in the hospital getting radiation. He passed away this week. Why? Why pain? Why disease? Why evil? In the present age, we will have trouble, but we know as Christians, we have hope in the age to come, when all will be fulfilled and there is a complete end to pain and suffering of the present age. Our response as Christians to the question of why is because, not yet. We need to reflect the hope of the age to come. I've got two questions for you to consider, and you need to know that when I ask a question from here, it's not me pointing questions. I got to think about these questions too, okay? Questions for us to consider. If your neighbor or your coworker phoned you up today and said, hey, tell me about the faith that you have. Tell me about this Jesus. Could you explain it to them in a way that they would understand? Do your coworkers, do the main people in your social circle, do they know that you follow Jesus? And notice, the question is not, do they know if you go to church? Do they know that you follow Jesus? We need to be inclusive, and we need to reflect the hope of the age to come. The third habit that we need to cultivate is that we need to live for the other. In all that you do, stand for justice and peace. Where there is oppression, stand in solidarity with the oppressed. Living for the other means that it's a love, there's a love that requires self while opening to and standing with others. Some perhaps uncomfortable questions for us all to consider, but if we're to live for the other, who makes the clothes that you buy? Where's your food grown? How does that impact creation that we're supposed to tend and care for? See, if we're going to tend and care for creation, our purpose, then we have to ask ourselves these questions. We have to evaluate ourselves to see if, A, are we living up to our purpose to tend and for creation in all that we do? And B, how can we get better at it? All right, no more uncomfortable questions. If we're to summarize very quickly what we learn about Christian spirituality in the first few stories of the Genesis text, first, we learn that salvation and repentance cannot be isolated or individualized. Noah had a job to do to restore all of creation, and Abraham, through his blessing, and ultimately Jesus, through Abraham's family, is a blessing to all. Cannot be an isolated and individualized act. Second, repentance puts us on a path to our original intention to tend and care for creation. And ultimately, the blessing of my salvation, the blessing of your salvation, is conveyed and is meant to be conveyed to the nations and to the world. We have found salvation in Jesus, and I hope that that's a true statement that everybody here can make. If you can't make that statement, or if you stumbled across the podcast and are just investigating, please ask somebody, maybe somebody that invited you to church, ask an elder, and ask John or I about how to make that commitment to Jesus. But for those of us who have found salvation in Jesus, we have been blessed with that salvation so that we may bless others. We need to help others understand the hope that we have. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, to give a reason for the hope that you have. Do not forget to do good and share with others, Hebrews 13:16. And ultimately, it's you who will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. We are blessed to be a blessing to others to the very ends of the earth. I'm going to leave you with one final thought here. It's an old African proverb, a hat tip to Professor Fincham, who we quoted earlier. It says this: there is only one crime worse than murder on the desert. That's to know where the water is and not to tell. We have the water, don't we? We've been blessed and we have salvation, not so that we can hold on to it for ourselves, but so that we can convey that blessing to the nations, to the world, to the very ends of the earth. I'm going to invite our awesome worship team back up. Kids, we're going to head downstairs and go over some notes from here, all right? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Josh. We are blessed so we can be a blessing to others. It's a high calling that we all aspire to fulfill. But the one thing that we need, as Josh has just told us, is that we need Christ. It's through Christ and it's in Christ that we can be a blessing to others. Christ is our cornerstone. Please stand with us.
My hope is built on nothing less. And Jesus' blood and righteousness.
face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak and strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak and strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne.
How do we make Christ our cornerstone? How do we achieve that? We can't do it through our own power. It's through the Spirit that lives in us. It takes a moment, every moment, every second, we have to fight against that old nature. We have to offer up our lives to Him as a constant act of worship.
Surrender, I must give my every part.
Father, we want to thank you for this time we've had this morning. We thank you again for Canada and for what that means to be a citizen, to be a part of a great nation. Father, we thank you for the challenge that Josh has put before us and the reminder that we are blessed so that we can bless others. Father, we pray that as we leave this place that we will take up his challenge to bless someone in the church and someone from outside the church as we go forward this week, that it'll be a conscious act to remind us of what we need to do. Father, we thank you again for this place, for this faith community, and just pray that you will be with us now as we enjoy a time of fellowship and as we go forward into our week. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining with us this morning. Just before we leave, we are going to sing again the doxology. Please join with us.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You are dismissed. If you are able to stay and enjoy time of fellowship, we'll see you in the foyer.